On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. State lawmakers may go another year without passing legislation to set stricter state timelines for processing sexual assault kits. And this inaction comes even as sexual assault victims and advocates had lobbied for bills to ensure evidence is analyzed in a timely manner. What do you think advocates for survivors of sexual assault should be telling lawmakers in Wisconsin and Washington, for that matter? How could our state or federal laws be improved? We're at 800-642-1234. Ilsa Connect is Director of Policy and Advocacy at the Joyful Heart Foundation in New York. The group was founded in 2004 by actress Mariska Hargitay, known for her role as a police detective on the NBC show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Ilsa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, Assembly Bill 844 that was introduced and passed by the Assembly last month has everything that the original bill had when that bill came out last May, timeline for collecting, processing, storing rape kits. Why do you oppose the latest bill?
Well, I want to start by saying that Joyful Heart Foundation is working in Wisconsin to support local stakeholders like the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Many prosecutors, law enforcement professionals, sexual assault nurse examiners, and survivors who have collaborated for months and months behind legislation that would set those timelines for rape kit testing and bring rights to survivors of sexual assault. And that bill has been stalled in the committee for months and months and months. And they came together as the professionals and the experts that they are who handle rape kits and every day work with sexual assault survivors and decided what would be the best bill. The new bill, Speaker Voss's bill, basically 844, was the result of just about a week of work and zero collaboration with those local stakeholders.
You attended the public hearing early last month where lawmakers heard a lot of emotional testimony, including from Amy Dean from Sauk City.
The state that I know and love failed to test 6,000 sexual assault kits. They allowed those kits to collect dust on shelves. I lost faith in those institutions that were meant to protect us, and I lost faith in my legislators. So I'm begging you to help me protect my daughter and survivors of sexual violence.
Ilsa, what did you take away from that hearing?
That was very, very emotional and very inspiring. And again, the people that testified that day, many of them were involved in writing this legislation. And many of them have been doing this work for decades. And I was really overwhelmed, actually, with just the feeling of being with those people and seeing this bill that they've worked so hard on die for party politics. You know, I said it there. You take a bill that these professionals who know what working with sexual assault survivors is like, and they know about handling rape kits and collecting rape kits and testing rape kits, and you take a bill that literally impacts whether people live or die. You know, they get violated or victimized, have their lives forever altered, and put a provision on it that hasn't been discussed and that is very well known that half the assembly members will not support. You put these poison pills, like an immigration-related provision that none of the sexual assault advocates are in support of. And like I said, that's how you kill a bill. And in just watching these professionals who had put their hearts and souls into this work and this legislation, it was really, I just felt really emotionally overwhelmed by that. It was really sad.
We're discussing efforts in state capitals to improve how sexual assault cases are handled. ILSA Connect is with the Joyful Heart Foundation. That's a national group. You can join in. Do you support Assembly Bill 844, the legislation that Republicans recently introduced and passed in the Assembly aimed at addressing sexual assault? What do you want to know about how other states handle evidence from sexual assault cases? We're at 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Ilsa, after the hearing, State Representative David Steffen said other legislation aimed at preventing backlogs didn't have enough support to make it through the Capitol.
Regardless of what the issues were, the reality is it wasn't happening. And so this is an opportunity to make some substantial positive changes. And my goodness, I think we can agree that this bill is a tremendous step forward. Is it, you know, perfect? Find me a piece of legislation that is.
So he says this has enough good to outweigh the potential bad. Do you agree there?
No. I think the people of Wisconsin are smart enough to decipher what this is all about. Speaker Voss does not want to give the Attorney General and the Governor a win. And, you know, this is party politics on steroids. And I said it in the hearing, I have never experienced this before on this issue. This is a nonpartisan issue. Across the country, we work with state legislatures day in and day out. You know, 30 states and Washington, D.C. have passed legislation mandating the testing of rape kits and, you know, put in provisions for the handling from the hospital to the lab. And clean bills that focus only on rape kit testing and survivors for victims' rights, not immigration, not school choice, clean bills. And they've passed those legislatures in a bipartisan fashion, and they pass them unanimously.
Well, let's
it's very
look,
clear what's going on here.
Well, let's look at that first piece that was added to the legislation, immigration. The provision would require police to report undocumented immigrants to federal authorities if they are accused of sexual assault. What are your concerns with establishing this kind of policy?
I'll say I am not an immigration expert. I do know that anti-violence experts say that provisions like this will keep victims from reporting. This kind of language has been discussed and fought all over the country. I'm not an expert in that. What I will say is it doesn't belong in this bill. This is a bill about testing and handling rape kits. And this is not relative to this bill. So, you know, next year we'll come back, we'll get a clean bill that doesn't include immigration provisions or school choice provisions. And we will be able to pass that bill. You know, I think we just have to bring this back to the heart of the matter, and that is the survivors of sexual assault, these 6,000, almost 7,000 untested rape kits that were found in Wisconsin. And each single one of those represents a survivor who did everything society asked them to do, you know, preserve evidence, go to a hospital, possibly wait hours, have a very intrusive and exhaustive physical examination of their body done, which has become a crime scene. And have that evidence collected in a rape kit. The kit then sits on a shelf gathering dust. And that obviously sends a terrible message to survivors that what happened to them doesn't matter and that we're not taking your case seriously. You have to make a clean bill that doesn't include these other provisions, that only focuses on the topic of sexual assault kits and testing and handling those kits.
Talking with Ilsa Connect, a policy director at the Joyful Heart Foundation, a national group advocating on behalf of survivors. We're looking at the impasse at the state capitol over how to prevent a future backlog of untested sexual assault kits and the competing bills. Neither is expected to make it to the governor's desk. Are you a survivor of sexual assault? What do you think of how the state handles these cases? How much would you want the state to establish a tracking system for rape kits? Join in with your questions, your story, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced last month that more than 1,000 tested sexual assault kits have produced DNA that's been added to a national database of DNA profiles. And testing on more than 4,400 sexual assault kits was completed back in November to address a backlog of kits that dated back decades. After Wisconsin authorities discovered a backlog of untested evidence from sexual assault cases, how did that make you feel? How did you talk with your family and friends? What questions linger about that backlog? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ilsa Connect is policy director at the New York-based Joyful Heart Foundation, and she stays with us. So one provision in Assembly Bill 844 would allow survivors to join Wisconsin's school voucher program. And Republican Representative Janelle Branchen says victims deserve eligibility so they could more easily switch schools and find a healing way from their peers.
I can tell you from me growing up that there were girls that unfortunately took their lives because that's how they were known in their high school. And I don't think there's anything more tragic than being unable to heal from a situation like that.
So should students be automatically eligible for vouchers if they're a victim of sexual assault, Ilsa?
Once again, I'll just say I am not an expert on school choice. And the fact that we're even having this conversation in the context of speaking about a bill about rape kit testing just shows you how far off we're getting from the topic. You know, there are very good reasons to help survivors of sexual assault leave a school if they want to. A lot of focus has been on potentially removing the offender. That is a very complicated topic, and that is a conversation that needs to happen in Wisconsin. It needs to happen among the professionals that work with survivors.
Do other states,
before it is put into legislation.
Do other states have laws granting students eligibility for switching schools after a sexual assault?
I can't comment on that. I'm not an expert in that area, unfortunately. Sorry.
No, that's okay. But what kind of challenges do survivors typically come across while trying to switch schools after a trauma like that?
I don't know. And I'm sure they're big. I am sure they're big because there are, many, many barriers to staying in the school where your perpetrator is or leaving the school and finding another school. I'm sure, especially in rural areas, just as a person who pays attention to these issues, I'm sure that there are great barriers, but I am just not prepared to really comment on that. And once again, I think the experts in that state need to get together and talk about that before it's put into legislation.
One of your foundation's big priorities for Wisconsin is establishing a dedicated revenue stream for funding for testing rape kits. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
The reforms that we propose states adopt include inventorying rape kits, which Wisconsin has done and found nearly 6,000 or 7,000 nearly, making sure that all of those are being tested. And under the several attorneys general now in this state, that is happening. Mandating the testing of newly collected kits in a timely manner. That is the only way you can prevent another backlog from happening again. Making sure that victims have a right to know where their kit is, because most of them leave the hospital and never, ever hear again. And it's very detrimental to their healing to not have that information. Establishing a tracking system to know where rape kits are at all times. That is a huge accountability and transparency provision. If you can track your shoes on Zappos or your package on Amazon, we know we can track rape kits in that same way. And we should do that so that we have oversight over what is happening with those kits and that survivors can log on to that system, that tracking system, and see where their kit is at all times. And then, of course, that all costs money. So we are not going to come into a state and help the local stakeholders pass legislation and not support the fact that that costs money. And we've been very successful in other states. Much of the bills that have passed and the appropriations that have come through for rape kit reform are a tiny, tiny percentage of what a state spends every year. And public safety is a top priority of government. Keeping the public safe is a top priority. And we believe very strongly that states have to make that investment in their communities and in the public to make sure that they are safe. Because this is a public safety issue. When these kits sit on shelves, dangerous people stay on the streets and they commit crimes over and over and over again until they're stopped.
Well, let's talk about the storage of evidence. During the public hearing we talked about earlier last month, Attorney General Josh Call had concerns about Assembly Bill 844 requiring the state crime labs to store evidence for up to 50 years.
Those kits are stored at local law enforcement agencies around the state. And again, the legislature in this legislation has not made an appropriation that would fund the creation of storage space for that. It's not clear whether the state crime lab needs to divert resources to collecting sexual assault kits from around the state.
So the Republicans, though, amended the bill so it was clear that local agencies would store kits for up to 50 years, not the state crime lab. What would that system align with the practices you see going on around the country?
Retaining rape kits is very important. The rape kits that are not tested, by the way. So when you put in place procedures to say every single kit connected to a reported sexual assault where a survivor has said, I want this kit, my case to go forward, I want this kit to be tested, should be tested in a timely manner. There's a small percentage then of survivors who say, I want to get this evidence collected so I can then have time to think about whether or not I can participate in the criminal justice system and whether or not that time is now or whether or not it's later, because it's not always the right time for survivors at that moment. And so keeping these kits as long as the statute of limitations, when the case can be brought and charges can be brought, or the 50 years, which is a guideline that a lot of states are using, that is the right thing to do. And the next question is, of course, where do you keep those kits? National best practices say those kits should be kept at law enforcement agencies or at the state lab. And states are looking at this in a different way. New York State is creating a central repository for kits that would be responsible for keeping track of them. And then if a survivor says 10 years later, I want my kit to go to the lab, that central repository takes care of that and sends it to the lab. So there are lots of different ways to do this, but best practice is either at law enforcement agencies or either at a state crime lab. You know, and of course, there needs to be provisions in place to fund that and make sure that adequate storage is available.
We're talking with Ilsa Connect with the Joyful Heart Foundation, a national group that advocates on behalf of sexual assault survivors. You can still join in at 800-642-1234. So, Ilsa, what would it mean if Wisconsin lawmakers are unable to pass any legislation this session? What might effect would it have waiting another year?
I can tell you that lives will be affected. And I say that with a very heavy heart. I, in my testimony, talked about young women who all died because a rape kit that could have stopped the perpetrator wasn't tested in time. There are preventable crimes happening every day because rape kits are sitting on shelves. I will tell you their names: Melissa Bittler in Oregon, Marlene Rose in Massachusetts, and Randir Kaur in California. These women all died because the evidence that could have stopped the perpetrator from being on the street and victimizing over and over again wasn't tested in time. So right now, Wisconsin is going to have to wait another year. One more year is going to go past, and that is just not okay. Survivors deserve better, and the people of Wisconsin deserve better. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but these stories are real.
Could another backlog be forming in Wisconsin right now?
Sure. Oh, yes. Every single day, rape kits are being collected, and there's no policy to say what to do with them. So law enforcement are still working under, legally, the same policies that they've had, which is nothing. So right now, when there's no policy on the books, individual detectives or investigators are making the decision of what happens with each kit. And what we have seen in places like Wisconsin and in every state across the country, that is dysfunctional. And all too often, the decision is made not to send a kit for testing when it should be sent. So, of course, the kits are going to start piling up again. And the only way to mandate or to make sure that a rape kit backlog doesn't happen again is to mandate the testing of kits.
The Joyful Heart Foundation had urged Wisconsin authorities to discover the backlog in 2014, later urged federal authorities to establish a grant that paid for testing. What is the status now of advocating for federal resources to help states?
Well, the government has been making this investment every year, and we have more, well, not we, there are more than 60 recipients of the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative grant. Wisconsin is one of them. And the new solicitation for those grants just came out last week. And so we would encourage local stakeholders, local governments, local officials can apply for those grants. Obviously the grant that Wisconsin has is a statewide grant, but local jurisdictions can apply as well. Those grants can pay for testing untested kits. They can pay for tracking systems. They can pay for investigating and prosecuting cold cases that come out of testing and in reengaging and working with survivors of those crimes. So the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative is has really changed the landscape of rape kit reform and has provided that necessary funding to make sure these kits don't sit on shelves any longer.
Ilsa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Ilsa Connect is Director of Policy and Advocacy at the Joyful Heart Foundation in New York. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Senator Patrick Teston from Stevens Point. We look at a package of bills aimed at water quality. We'll be back for more State Cap after this news update on the Ideas Network.